Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, your local alternative solid state radio.
Woo-hoo.
And my, have we got a lot of stuff to get to today. Really, two major things that we're probably going to spend most of the show on. And I'll let you decide which one we go and tackle first.
As happy as I am about last night, let's talk about the baffling situation that happened with the Detroit Lions.
I'm still just...
See, I'm a hockey guy. I don't know if I ever mentioned that.
I don't think you've ever mentioned that on this show.
I am more of a hockey guy. I'm still learning a lot of the ins and outs of football. Can somebody break out the finger puppets and explain to me what the heck happened on Saturday?
So I'll give you the kind of the Cliff's Notes version of what actually ended up happening. So Lions, they're extra point here, ties the game, sends it to OT.
Right.
A two-point conversion wins it, of course.
That part I was watching, because I was watching the scores as it happened in real time while I was doing sessions.
And my, Dan Campbell just, I'm going for it. We're doing it. We're playing for the win. I mean, you're lucky you're already in a position to even tie in Jerry World. Might as well go for the win before you have to do overtime.
That's not
in
a
Dallas.
Surprise for Dan Campbell. That's kind of his MO.
And they drew up this play where Taylor Decker, offensive lineman, would be the receiver who caught the ball. And that's exactly what happened. They draw it out. Decker goes and reports in. And they execute. Decker gets the touchdown. Guy you don't ever see catch passes, because that's not his job.
Yep.
And they get the 2 points. Except they don't. Because the refs decide that he's an ineligible receiver because he didn't report. They claim that Dan Skipper, another offensive lineman, is the one who checked in. Even though there is video that Skipper made no sort of, made no attempt to go talk to the refs or any motion or signal towards them. But you have on video Penei Sewell and Decker going over to have a chat with the ref.
Right.
Apparently, this was just still too complicated for Brad Allen, who apparently announced over the PA that number 70, Skipper, is an eligible receiver. And I don't know if anyone actually heard him say that over the PA. Like, it was kind of, like, you didn't notice it really on the broadcast if you weren't listening, you know, paying specific attention to hear it.
Right.
So that play gets called back. It never happened. They get penalized 5 yards. So they then have to attempt a two-point conversion from the 7, or they do in most cases would probably just be to kick the extra point at this point. Not Dan Campbell. So he goes for it again, and Micah Parsons picks it off, except that, oh, he was offsides, so you get a third chance at it.
Does he kick it this time?
No. No, he does not. They go for their third best two-point play, which is apparently...
The football guardian angels are giving Dan Campbell every out.
They really are. And it's the thing that honestly kind of... That really has me not thrilled with Dan Campbell in this moment. The football gods are clearly telling you, take the effing extra point. Clearly that's what they're telling you, and you choose not to listen. And so what happens is they go for it again attempted a pass to James Mitchell, who I don't think I recognized as a player on this team before that play. And he doesn't get it. The throw is short of the end zone. They lose.
Maybe, and this is just to give a little of a clout to the ref, maybe what if Decker did go up to the ref, but Decker's been hit in the head a couple times. Maybe he comes up and says, hey, I'm legible. Hey, I'm tangible.
I don't think that's what happened now.
Are you okay, buddy? Why don't you go sit down for the rest of the game, all right? Okay.
But there are certain things, as far as Dan Campbell's aggressiveness, that I love and really like that they did. But if there were two that I was not happy with, going for it after the penalty... Like, you're not a great passing team in the red zone anyway, and you weren't really generating anything with the run game at that point. Like, running the ball, that was just not going anywhere for you, so you really had no choice but to throw. And that same token, going for it on fourth and goal from the five. Earlier in the game, when you could have had the 3 points, that would have made this whole thing completely meaningless. Not thrilled about that.
Like, no.
This is clearly, like, this is a fourth down team, and I get that, and especially because you were terrible on third down Saturday. 4 for 13 on third down.
Yikes.
In that game. Even though you were very much in favorable position on a lot of those. All those were fairly short yardage. And look, I am, and I will say to the end of my day, I am entirely fine with the decision to go for it for the 2-point conversion at the end. Like, the first time around.
Yeah.
Keyword being the first time around, not the second or, God, the third. What were you even thinking at that point?
Right.
Like, it was a great play call. I like your odds a lot better than going to overtime in Dallas and all the bad luck and such that could go your way at that point. And I get why you would try for it again. But after the second time, it's clearly not working.
Right.
You're not getting anything out of this. At that point, you may as well go to OT because you're not – the football guys have decided you're not getting that 2 points.
Yeah, but that's Dan Campbell's MO. He wants to go for the two. Maybe he didn't have a whole lot of confidence in his team. You go for one, you tie it up, and I think Dallas would probably have gotten the ball.
But the defense was playing so good that night. I mean, this is a team that has put up like 40 points a game at home or something like that this year. You held them to 20. Like, this has been the best, arguably the best defensive performance we've seen from this Lions team this year. They haven't played this good, like, in any other occasion. And this is one where you fully expected. Like, they are averaging, like, I'm not making this up. Like, they're averaging about 40 points a game at home going into that game on Saturday night. You've done something that multiple playoff teams couldn't do. The Eagles couldn't do that. The Seahawks couldn't do that. The Rams couldn't do it. But you somehow held them to 20 points on the night. Whatever you were doing, it was working.
Yeah.
I get how it's a dicey proposition. And I commend the cojones to go for it, at least the first time around, maybe even the second. But at some point, you got to take the hint and take the point.
Yep.
And take the points. I do love, though, I don't know if you saw the fake punt. Jalen Reeves maybe just throwing over the top of that defense. Oh, it was a thing of beauty. Love that.
I didn't I didn't see too many of the plays. I didn't see any plays because I was just
doing radio.
Yeah, but I mean, Yahoo, they got a thing they keep up in real time. And it was a nail biter. Every time at one point, I'm like, oh, Cowboys have got this. Because, I mean, there was quite a lead there, but Lions came back.
They did. And honestly, this is shaping up to be, if things play out the way that it seems like they're almost destined to.
Yeah.
This team could potentially be facing the Rams. Matt Stafford and the stupid Rams in the first round at home.
I like that. I like those odds.
And facing Dallas on the road again in the second round.
See, that's
I like those odds a lot.
See, I don't, because every time we go against Dallas, Something happens.
Fluke,
so last time,
BS happens.
Yeah, sometime last time they were in the playoffs against Cowboys.
The flag that got picked
the
up.
Yeah, the phantom flag, and you got Stafford yelling "home cooking," and yeah, he was upset. Everybody was upset. It was like, what's going on here? Why is it with the NFL, where there's so many refs on the field? Why are we always having this conversation about somebody not hearing if somebody's eligible, missing the catch? I can't remember the exact game, but kicker goes for the extra point or a field goal to win the game, and one ref has his hands up, it's good. The other one says no, no good. I mean, this is too often.
Can we just have, like, I don't care if it means that Roger Goodell's got to, you know, take a little bit of a cut in his paycheck, but can we have some refs that know their ass from a hole in the ground? Would that be possible? Sky
Judge. We need Sky Judge.
I want Sky Judge so bad. Like, I don't know that it would ever be adopted, but can we at least, like, pay some decent refs? Because, like, you're paying these guys so little that, like, they're working in the off season doing other things. Like, they don't have the money, like, to just do this, which means you're not getting the best guys that could possibly be doing this, clearly.
No.
Like, could we do something about that, maybe? Because this is ridiculous. And this same officiating crew had some, I believe it was in a bad call, and I want to say it was the Packers-Chiefs game earlier this season. And now they were talking about, oh, we're not going to schedule these guys in the playoffs. Oh, but now they're going to be playing in next week's America's Game of the Week on Fox. Go figure.
It's just too often.
Can't we fix this? The NFL knows this is a problem. The NFL knows this has been a problem for years. Why have we not managed to figure out a way to fix it yet?
Right.
I don't understand. Why does this continue to be an issue when it is so seemingly easily fixed on a multitude of levels? Like, have the command center in New York do the Sky Judge thing. Pay some refs who will actually, you know, who aren't moonlighting as truck drivers in the off season. Do something. Because this is ridiculous, and it continues to happen, and it's just cheapening these games. And you got to think, though, back to the fact that we might now face the Cowboys in the second round of the playoffs in Jerry World again. The prospect here of facing them. But the NFL knows all eyes are going to be on this game.
Yeah.
They know there's not going to be any room for anything funny. At the second if it does, like, something's going to be said. I think the officials are going to be on their best behavior that day.
I would hope so.
And you've already shown that you can hang with this Dallas team. You've shown you can beat this Dallas team. And now I want to see you actually go out and do it. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think you can.
It's a great storyline.
It sets you up for quite the poetic storyline through these playoffs, man.
Sure.
Wouldn't that be something? And I very much think that there's a good chance that we get it. We'll get into Michigan next. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Vampire Weekend at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Okay, so I know we were going to move on to Michigan stuff, but there is one other thing I have to bring up as Lapeer Main Street manager Jim Ault kind of mentioned it. So the NFL, in response to the Lions' attempted two-point play, if you were expecting anything resembling an apology for what happened, you weren't going to get it from anybody. First off, well, point I'd like to make, why is it the officials don't have to actually answer to anybody other than the one pool reporter who the NFL is probably paying to be there? Like the rest of the media don't get to ask questions of the refs. Like, there was a statement, a transcript put out later with a pool reporter that Brad Allen apparently spoke to that didn't explain much of anything and was, quite frankly, proven wrong by the multiple things that they did, that the video of what actually happened. But not only that, the NFL says they have no intention of changing the process of players reporting as eligible, because they're essentially blaming the Lions for confusing the officials. From Mike Florio over at Pro Football Talk. Per a source with knowledge of the situation, the NFL does not plan to change the procedure for players reporting as eligible. The league views the situation as an effort by the Lions to engage in deception and gamesmanship that backfired.
Yeah.
Deception, like what every team attempts to do on pretty much every play. Yeah.
And Jim was explaining to this off the air, and what deception. They told you exactly what they were going to do, what the Lions were going to do.
They told you what the play was before. Like, they actually, like, here's the play we're going to do. Like, if this situation comes up, this is the guy we throw it to. Like, how does that, like, how is it deception on the, you know, on the part of the officiating when they told the officiating exactly what they were going to do?
Well, we forgot. I understand the whole not questioning the refs, and you can actually be fined for bad mouthing the refs. I mean, you gotta give them a chance to do their jobs. They've got to be the law and order on the field. But,
well, I think it's quite frankly,
go ahead.
BS that is the case, that you could be fined for criticizing the refs. Like, why are they above reproach? But go ahead.
No, I mean, it makes sense. But I mean, that's, I guess you kind of have to have them shielded a little bit. Otherwise, they're going to get critiqued. They're going to be criticized every single game.
They already are.
Their job or not. I know. And there's all, and there's probably a lot of, I don't know the exact dollar amount, but there's a lot of fines doled out throughout the season because of bad mouthing the officiating.
Why can't we use some of that money and get better officiating then? How about that? How about that?
If we're going to find money.
Yeah, if we're going to find people for criticizing the refs, then how about we put that money towards hiring better refs?
Because if that was the case, each official would be making seven figures.
They'd probably get a lot less stuff wrong if they were making seven figures, man.
Maybe they would get some mics that work on their belt as opposed to first down.
Wouldn't that be nice?
No. Seven figures. You'd have a ref with gold chains, some gold teeth, and the microphone would actually be auto-tuned. Defense holding on the defense. First down.
Every official going out there sounding like T-Pain.
And looking like T-Pain.
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that would certainly solve your problem. But, no, of course, they're blaming the NFL, saying by sending three offensive linemen towards the ref, which Skipper didn't really come anywhere near the ref, ultimately, but that they supposedly set Brad Allen up to fail. But also, when you look at it, look at the play, Skipper runs in, the ref is already gone, so there's no way he could report it. Sewell's on the line. Decker reported. Amon-Ra St. Brown was off the line. Like, you look at it, like the ref points at Skipper as he's running in, but that's just signal he's right. Coming into the game.
Yep.
You have also even the latest a tweet from Jason Kabinda, who was just actually cut by the Lions, a former fullback for the team. Anyone who really knows football and knows plays like this knows that sending only one offensive lineman to the referee for a two-point conversion where the defense is stagnant and can see everything that's going on is like telling on yourself pre-snap. Now, all that said, the officials announced anyway that who's an eligible receiver before that, but they literally did let them know about the play prior to the game. That of course, the take Kabinda's responding to was from resident, where is he at now? Fox Sports stooge Jason Whitlock. Like, the Lions succeeded in creating confusion. Three linemen all walk/run towards the ref. How many Lions does it take to report one lineman is eligible? 68 need a personal escort? 70 ran onto the field making a beeline for the ref as if he's reporting. Yeah, because they're trying to be deceptive because that's how that works. That's how the game is played.
Yep.
But, you know, never accuse Jason Whitlock of, you know, having facts straight literal ever.
Exactly.
All of this really just says the NFL just will not, under any circumstances, ever admit to being wrong about anything, protect the shield at all costs, because that's just how this thing goes. I'm just going to be interested to see when these two teams inevitably meet up in the postseason, just how much scrutiny the officiating crew ends up being under then.
There's probably going to be a camera. The TV crew is going to be like, you keep this camera on the refs at all times.
As it should be. And if not, bring on the Sky Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the AWOL Nation, Solid State Radio. Candlebox, your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. So we've got to get into the Michigan game, right? Because, well, the exact thing that I told you was going to happen on Friday. Let me just put that out there. I called this. And let me further point out that the actual alleged Michigan fans in this building and on this show all picked Michigan to lose, and the effing Spartan people all picked Michigan to win.
Yep.
You people don't even have faith in your own damn cheating team.
I had my plan, and I hope I didn't deceive you, was that if I lost, if Alabama lost and I lost in the picks, I still got a chance to see Michigan win. And if Michigan lost, well, then I would have won the pick.
I don't know if you won the picks. I actually should
probably
go through
that. Pick. I would have won that pick.
That's fair.
As far as the picks in general, we can talk about that in the next segment. But
well, we can't because I don't have them here.
Oh.
Remember we did the show from home base?
Yeah. I remember a little bit of that.
You almost remember the show, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it's a little dangerous when you do a Friday show so close to your house.
Yeah.
So close to my house.
Yeah, that's really more the point of it, that you're that close to your homestead.
Yeah.
I think you decide you're not doing Dry January this year.
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, wait. It is January, isn't it? Well, yeah, I already screwed that up.
It's,
better luck next year.
It is something I wanted to do because, yeah, Dry January. You and I and Rachel were talking about giving up alcohol for the month. And I was actually going to do just get rid of everything. Pop, Monsters. Basically, I was just going to drink water. And I still probably might get on that bus. But my wife's holiday party is tonight, and it's an open bar.
Oh.
And then my stepbrother's birthday, his 50th birthday, is on Thursday.
Oh, boy.
I just can't have it.
I just can't be sober, man. You're just asking for too much out of me.
I know.
But and it's totally understandable.
I haven't done any whiskey since Dry January. Does that count?
I don't know if that counts, dude. I hate to tell you, I don't think that's quite what they were
going
for.
Well, whatever you do, don't tell Drew.
Oh, of course we won't. Don't worry. I would never say anything to him because then you'll well, who are we kidding? If you tell him, oh, I'm totally drinking this month, you'll never get rid of him.
I will say I haven't had any regular beer, any whiskey. All I've had is these tomato clamato things that I've been drinking.
But let's be honest, that's going to change in about 90 minutes when you're over at when you're over at a certain watering hole that we both love.
It's closed only to staff and their significant others, i.e. me, and it's an open bar. I mean, oh, Lord have mercy.
Right? That ought to be a good... I've been to that party in the past, in fact, I was invited to this one. But unfortunately, I'm sacrificing that for my own whatever here just to see.
So at the end of the month, you're going to like look all svelte and feel great, and I'm going to be like, that could have been me.
We'll see. I don't know if that's necessarily the way that's going
to
pan out.
When I stopped drinking for that time that the state of Michigan told me I had to, I felt good. I looked good. I mean, I think I stole a beer out of Drew's fridge right around that time and guzzled it like a hamster in a water with a water bottle. But
that's going to be me the night of the Wings game.
Yeah.
When we go to that Wings Senators game, that's what that's going to be all about. Like, I'm that night, like, all right, once this hits, once the when the gloves finally drop for fight night at the LCA, all right, it's on. Someone give me a beer. I'm going to be ready. So effing ready. Like, I'm playing a gig sober during this stretch, man. You know how difficult that is for me?
It's like 12:30. We can go now, right? Is this done?
Like, Rachel's even talking about, cheating for the one gig that we have. I'm like, I I'm going to do this. Like, I feel like at this point I have to prove to myself that I can actually do this because it's been, I think, since COVID that I've gone that long without.
Yeah.
So we'll see just how well this works for me. Now, that said, getting 0.0s are indeed 0.0, so that doesn't count as cheating.
Yeah, but
I still have some in the doghouse.
The weight gain, the burping and everything else without that wonderful feeling that you can dance. I mean, that just doesn't seem right.
That's fair, and I'm probably not going to bust those out unless we have some big old get-together over there, which, is always in the realm of possibility with us. Mm-hmm. But we're going to try this.
I would say get some of that non-alcoholic bourbon, but no.
We've tried it.
It's terrible.
And it's never been good. Like, I know there's some other brands of it that, like, and maybe I'll try and track down one of them that might necessitate a trip to like Total Wine or something to do so, but I'm gonna try and see, because that there you go, the NA, the White Trash NA Beer Tour, White Trash NA Whiskey Tour.
We have done NA beers in studio.
We've done a few,
and actually, was it Guinness put out a really? It was before they did the 0.0. It was
Caliber.
That was decent.
That one wasn't bad. Guinness 0.0 was so much better though.
It is good. Beck's makes a good one.
Yeah, but Beck's ultimately still tastes like Beck's, and Beck's isn't good.
O'Doul's is trash, and I think Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, they should feel ashamed of themselves.
Right? Especially now that they have Bud Zero, which at least tastes functionally like beer.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I've had Bud Zero in the past. It's not terrible.
I would have to try it.
And the fact that I'm saying that a Budweiser-branded product is actively not terrible, that's the highest compliment I can give such a thing.
Right, exactly.
So that should tell you a lot right there. So maybe we'll track some of these down for some of these Friday shows. Like, we have a little bit of fun with this, see if there we can track down a bourbon thing. We will actually legitimately talk about Michigan next. I swear to God, here's Smash Mouth at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Michigander at your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. Hey. Drew Duffney's hanging out in the background as well, but we're talking sports today.
Well, I actually watched a lot of sports this weekend, and I think I did pretty good in the picks this week. Did I win?
I don't know, because I don't have them here.
Which means he lost.
We're apparently not in the right studio for that, because I have them back at home. And I don't think I even... Did I remember to take a picture of him? Probably not. Well, I'll be home in a... Whenever,
if he won, it would have been around a frame around his neck.
Yeah, but because I won and it's the start of the year or the end of the season.
I forgot all about it. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, you didn't. You haven't won yet this year.
I know. And the thing is the wild card teams that I guessed.
Yeah.
Sean also guessed with me. So if anything, we tied.
I strongly doubt we tied, Drew.
We all picked the Lions. That unfortunately didn't go through.
Yeah, no, not so much. We had faith, certainly, but not quite. They didn't have quite the right, they had the refs going against us, so that is what it is. So Michigan last night. And
Michigan.
You thought they weren't going to beat Bama. Jim, the other Michigan, the guy who actually went to school at Michigan, didn't think they were going to beat Bama. The guy who went to school at Michigan State, you went to school at State, right?
No, I went to Mott. I was the Applesauce school.
Okay,
my brother graduated.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the two guys who root for State picked your team, and as it turns out, they won. You're welcome.
Yeah, they did. In overtime.
An overtime thriller. My, J.J. McCarthy, can I just say, like, I know I've kind of dogged on the kid a bit over his over the span of his career, but my God, that game last night, 3 touchdowns, no picks. 25 rushing yards to boot, 221 yards through the air, 17 for 27, had a couple tip passes, but he came through when you needed him to, and Blake Corum, oh my God.
Oh, 83 yards. They greased him up, didn't they?
They really did. Had 2 touchdowns on the day, the game winner in OT, and a receiving touchdown in the first quarter. He's now the all-time leader in rushing touchdowns.
Wow.
Like, you guys are, like, you've got one, like, that's an all-timer that you guys get to watch right now. Like, the best running back, arguably, your school's ever had.
He's going to be a first-round pick.
We'll see, man. Like, he's certainly adding to the resume.
If he wins a natty, he's going to the NFL.
And I'll be honest with you, at this point, I think you're winning a natty. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I hate that Jim Harbaugh is going to be rewarded for all this nonsense, that all this crap we have to hear about, we've gone through so much adversity this season that our coaches actively put us in. Like, I hate it. It makes me sick to my stomach that it's all going to be validated, but you're probably winning a natty.
Washington's not going to do it?
No, I don't think Washington is going to do it. I think you're going to hand them their only loss of the season. I honestly would be stunned if that's not the case at this point.
Michigan's favored by 6, I heard.
That sounds about right. I kind of would expect as much.
Well, the game's in Houston, so I was really glad that they weren't playing Texas in Texas.
Oh, can you imagine the home crowd there?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be amazing. But, like, everything on offense went about as well as it possibly could have. I mean... Roman Wilson didn't play a whole lot in this game, but when they needed him, he came through. McCarthy has a pass tipped towards him 20 yards downfield, and he somehow snags that ball, gets it inside the Alabama 10 with less than 2 minutes to go. And if he doesn't make that play, the ball gets picked. Mm-hmm. Instead, they ended up tying the game. Like, that game's probably over if he doesn't time that jump exactly right. Your offense did everything you possibly could have asked. Your defense was even better, arguably. I mean, you held Bama to 20 points. That's not exactly nothing.
No.
The only thing where you really kind of had any semblance of issues on the day was the special teams. Like, your special teams unit was garbage. You had a muff punt. You had a long snapper who bounced a ball off the turf on a point after attempt. A high snap that... that threw off the timing on a field goal attempt that ultimately led to you missing that field goal. Another muff punt that actually almost led to a walk-off safety for Bama. And then your punter, Tommy Dumond, was just not good. Like, averaging less than 40 yards across the six punts on the day. Bama's punter otherwise averaged north of 50. Like, you had a couple things. Special teams almost cost you that game. The walk-off safety would have just been... That would have been a heartbreaker all the way around with as good as the rest of that team played. But that said, you got that exercise, that demon, really, that is Bama. You're going to the national title game, and you're by far, you're the favorite in this thing as well. You should be.
Can we take a step back? And when we talked about, was it Florida got hosed?
Florida State.
Florida State got hosed in the selection.
They proved that wasn't the case.
Yeah, they just got smoked. It was like, what, 41-3 or something?
63-3, I believe.
Oh, yeah. So maybe the selection committee has got something going.
Yeah.
Counterpoint to that, Georgia getting left out, though.
Yeah. That definitely.
Because Georgia, I think, is the one team in the country that I think absolutely would beat Michigan if they matched up in the title game.
Yeah. Georgia.
So you're dodging a bullet there. I don't think you beat the Bulldogs. I absolutely think you could have beat the Longhorns. I think you could beat Washington. I don't think you would have beat Georgia. Just for whatever that nothing that might be worth at this point.
Yeah.
Do you believe yet or what?
I believe. I'm on board. Go
if
Blue.
If that team plays the way they did last night. If that defense clamps down like they did, if Blake Corum continues to do Blake Corum things, there's no reason you don't win that game on Monday. Absolutely none.
Nope.
I'd bet money on it. I absolutely would. And honestly, I might.
Hey.
I mean, if
only we could find out a place where you can bet online.
I know.
They're so quiet about their product.
If only there was a commercial during, like, every single sporting event ever.
I saw something cool this weekend and I don't watch a lot of sports, but do you guys have NFL Pass?
No. I do not, but I, have ways of watching all the games.
So Mike has it, and you can watch four games at once.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a giant TV that's the size of this window anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
And we were watching four games all at once. And, like, you get to pick which one you want to listen to. Like, it takes picture in picture to a whole different level.
Yeah, I had that when I had DirecTV. You could sit there and go to it's a certain channel, but you go there and you can watch, like, NFL games, NHL games.
Yeah.
Or what's also nice is, I don't know if Mike has this, but let's say I'm watching the Wings game, but the Colorado Avalanche are playing a game. I could have that score up in the corner. And that would be in real time.
Yeah, I don't know. He could pick whatever we wanted to watch.
Yeah.
Like, there was a time to where there was football on, and we started watching, like, the New Year's countdown at one of the areas.
Sure.
And he changed it to that. I'm like, what do you have that you can – but it's all through YouTube TV or something, and you can – I don't know how it works, but I thought that was fascinating.
YouTube TV, they've been trying to get me to sign up every time I get on YouTube. I'm like, no thanks.
That's right.
I have enough streaming services.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
Yep.
It is happy hour at your local alternative South State Radio. Stick around. Foo Fighters at your local alternative South State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. Drew Duffy is hanging out. But as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Hey, hockey time. Yeah, Seattle Kraken. First team in Winter Classic history to shut out a team. And they shut out the defending Stanley Cup champions, Vegas Golden Knights. But I'm sure you want to talk about the Red Wings. We can do that.
I mean, I played the music, man. I feel like
I'm being coy.
I bet you were. You're like, I don't want to talk about the Red Wings. You can't make me. Yeah.
No, actually, they held their own against the Boston Bruins. Was on New Year's Eve, and
yeah,
they didn't do too bad. I mean, they lost, but it was to the Boston Bruins. You can't expect them to beat them every single time.
I expect them to beat him every single time.
Going into the second period, because I slept through the first period, the team, they were winning the faceoffs against the Bruins. They're out shooting them.
Yeah.
There really wasn't anything that could say, okay, well, it is this is the reason why they lost. And I know this is a cop out, but this is where I'm going. I blame puck luck. I mean, that's just, and the lack thereof for the Red Wings. There was that second goal in the second period. Or no, I'm sorry, the second goal for the Bruins in the second period, where they fire it, and Sherrod, had he moved like a millisecond sooner, he would have blocked that puck, and it wouldn't have gotten past Alex Lyon. But that was not the case. So
San Jose tonight. I mean, you have to win here or blow up the franchise, right?
Well, they lost against them last time, and that they're counting. A lot of people are circling that date as the slide that the Red Wings have experienced. So, yeah, it's a late start, 10:30 puck drop. They're in San Jose. They have to win this to get. If they lose to San Jose again, that's not the end of the season, but wow.
It's the end of the season.
They really have to start looking at themselves in the mirror and say, what are we doing wrong? How do we fix this? Besides playing defense, because apparently nobody wants to do that.
Yeah, we can't get a defenseman in this town soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, Jake Walman, he's doing everything you ask him to. He's got 9 goals on the season.
Now we just need about 6 more of him.
Yeah, we need 6 more. We'll just go to the Jake Walman store and pick them up. I think the new 2024 models are in.
I mean, I'd settle for another Gossett spare, too, whichever. Whatever works.
Yeah, yeah. He's doing his things. A recent game, the Wings scored another shorty. I want to know. I'd be willing to bet you that the Wings have the most shorthanded goals scored for in the NHL this season.
But also probably the most shorthanded goals scored against.
I haven't seen too many. And the power play has been looking. I mean, there's a lot of positive things you can take away from this team, but they need more solid goaltending. And even Husso, when he's healthy, is not the answer. They really have to address this. And they have to address the defense, both from the forwards and the actual D-men. I mean, the forwards have got to do their job. The forwards got to. Let me rephrase. The forwards have to help the D-men do their job. They can't be just, oh, well, that's the blue liner's issue. I'll just sit over here by the point and wait for the puck. You can't do that.
For what it's worth, the Wings are tied for. No, they're tied for 9th in the league in shorthanded goals with 5.
Only 5?
With the Preds and the Golden Knights.
Only 5. Wow.
Only 5, yes.
It just seems like they're scoring a lot of shorties. Is that shorties against them or for them?
That's 4.
Really? Okay. It just seems like there's been a lot of shorties this season. But I saw an interesting stat, courtesy of Bally's, where the Wings were first in the NHL. In the last 10 games, they had scored 10 goals from defensemen. So they're getting the offense from the defensemen, but they're not keeping it out of their own net. And then you've got Newsy deciding, you know, if you're down, he's gonna pull the goalie with like 20 minutes left to go in the. I mean, I'm joking, but you know,
well, I mean, a lot of time. From.
But I mean, that was a tighter team. You could get away with that, but 2.5 minutes, that's a lot of hockey to have to. Yeah, you're gonna put an extra person on the net, but you gotta have 2 or 3 people guarding the net, as opposed to joining the rush. You don't have that talent yet, to where you can pull the goalie at a 6th. Member on the ice and make it work worthwhile for you. You just don't have that yet. You will, just not yet.
Also, for what it's worth, the Wings are tied for 2nd in most shorthanded goals given up with 6.
Man, way to take my stat and just shove it right down my throat. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I told you, man.
Yeah, that's why Bally's doesn't. You know, give the stats. Vegas will screw you every time.
That's what it is. Carolina Hurricanes have the most, by the way, with 7 against the bunch of jerks.
Speaking of Vegas, Bob Lawson, does that name ring a bell there, Sean?
Yeah, it sure does.
His book, he sent me an advanced copy of it. It's going to be printed here soon. He's going to be on the show here in the very near future talking about his book, the start of Vegas hockey.
I want to check that out when you get done with it, because I don't get sent, you know, advanced copies of things.
I will make sure that it's okay. But I'm sure it would be okay because you're going to be here. So, yeah, I'm going to send it to you.
Doing the show with you.
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you. He was one of the people starting professional hockey in Vegas back in the 90s. And then, of course, you know, it grew to NHL standards and to the point where there's a chapter in the book written by members of the Vegas Golden Knights. So it's going to be very interesting to have Bob Lawson in studio talking about that book and find out how you people can have it in your hot little hands. I haven't read it yet, so.
When's it going to be in?
We haven't worked that out yet. They're working on the publishing date. There's still a lot of cogs being put into place, but, well, it's going to happen. I'm very excited. We've had Bob on the show multiple times.
As I say, we had him on the show long before Vegas actually had a team.
We did.
Stay tuned then, huh?
Huh?
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned indeed. Here is Young the Giant, your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Bakari, your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell.
Hey,
Drew Duffy
doing?
Hanging out with us. Also, we gotta bring this up.
Hi everybody.
Much as I don't want to.
Sure.
Well, the Pistons, they tied the all-time losing streak.
I know, they won a game. What is going on with
them? I know, Marcus lost $6,000 because of that.
Yeah, Marcus, a good friend of the show, he's been on a few times. He had bet $6,000 that the Pistons wouldn't, or he bet, I think $10.
$10.
That the Pistons wouldn't win another game in this season. And Toronto had to come in and ruin that for me. Yeah, it would have paid out like $6,000. Like, holy hell.
Well, he
man.
Would still have, if they would have lost that game to the Raptors, they still would have had to go on a long time without a win for Marcus to win.
Yeah, but that's only their third win of the season. I feel like it's entirely possible that that could have happened.
Yeah, so.
Who else were they going to, I can't believe they beat Toronto.
They lost the most recent game against Knicks, I think it was.
Sounds about right. Starting the losing streak up again. I like it.
Woo, another one going.
Yep, I feel like this team could actually start another losing skid that could actually top the last one.
It's very possible.
Wouldn't that be something? Like, they end up,
tying
the record,
and
they tie
it in the same season?
And then start a whole another one that breaks it? That would be amazing. And maybe we would finally get some people in this front office fired out of a cannon into the sun.
Just at this point, just move the team. Take the whole team.
I'd be fine with that.
I'm sure Vegas would like a basketball team. Go, there you go, Vegas Pistons. There you go. Enjoy.
Here you go. You guys have fun with that.
Yep.
Like, the fact that they're actually talking about being buyers at the trade deadline. I mean, granted, you don't have anything to sell, really, other than you sell Cade. I mean, probably should.
I mean,
I say probably should from the standpoint that why the hell would he want to re-sign here?
Right.
Like, why would he even bother? But
he's the only thing you got. He's the only trade bait you got. So.
But what they're talking about, like, they're talking about signing these guys on, like, expiring contracts and all of this. Like, OG Anunoby was one of them. Pascal Siakam, they were looking at him. And I'm just sitting back thinking, these guys are on expiring deals. You're not going to be able to get anyone, any star worth a damn to stay with the Pistons long term. Like, who's going to commit to be extending with the worst team in all of basketball and possibly all professional sports?
Right.
Who would agree to that contract? You can get that same money from a team that actually is trying to win and doesn't have their ass from a hole in the ground.
Yep.
Or does, rather. Why would you want to come here? And I don't think there's going to be a lot of free agents that are in any way, shape, or form interested in that. Like, they're going to find that out real quick. Like, yeah, you can trade these guys, give up assets to get a guy who's going to be gone at the end of the season so you can win an extra 5 games or whatever. But why?
Right.
What good would it do? In the short term, does it do anything? In the long term, it actually hurts you.
A lot of people are going to be saying, well, it's time to rebuild in the draft. And you need to start from the ground up. Yeah, but, I mean, the drafting.
Clearly,
you
can't even do that.
Do you trust the drafting from this current ownership, this current front office?
Alcer Thompson has worked out so well for us, right? Worked out great. I mean.
Who? I think you made that name up.
Yeah.
That name sounded like a bad Scrabble hand.
Guy we got stuck with instead of Wembanyama when we could have actually had like a generational game-changing talent instead that we probably would have ruined anyway because that's just what this team does.
Right.
Yeah, this is why I'm rather thankful that at least the Lions are doing well right now. The Lions had to, of course, the Lions had to suffer so the Pistons could break that stupid streak.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for that. But if it means that this team still ends up with all-time futility and we end up with a Super Bowl, you know what? I'll be entirely fine with it.
Yeah.
I can live with it. It's Happy Hour. It's Solid State Radio. Stick around. Happy Hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Campbell. Drew Duffy hanging out with us as well. It's about that time to get the hell out of Dodge and turn things over to, Adam's Gardening Hour or whatever it is you do at 6 o'clock?
Well, it's almost tax time. We're getting taxes done, so it's going to be Adam's Sessions Tax Preparer Hour where...
Tax Fraud Nightly is back.
There's no guarantee you will not be audited, so, listen at your own risk.
Oh, good stuff. That should be a good time all the way around. I always look forward to when Tax Fraud with Adam comes back.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where do you have a rat infestation in your house? You can actually write those rats off as dependents. You're feeding them.
I mean, that's fair. I never would have thought for that. Like, that's some rather interesting legal whatever on your part.
I think so.
No, a full hour of local original music comes your way next with Sessions, and you've got a show coming up this weekend real quick here.
Yeah, Sessions Concert Series going on at the Corona Road Bar. I have... Short Circus, they were just added to the bill. Static Factory and Wide Track. It's going to be a good time. No tickets, no cover. Just come on in. I'll be there as your host. I believe Drew might be making an appearance as well. No, Drew will not be making an appearance as well.
Well, Drew's got radio to do.
Yeah, that's true. He's going to be in studio. I think Schwabo is going to be running the ones and twos
as
on
he does.
Saturday. Yep.
Because Lord knows someone has to do it.
Yep.
Should be a good time all the way around. Go on out and see him Saturday night. Oh, CRB at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though, tune in for a full hour of local original music.
Two for Tuesday.
Is it already Tuesday? See, this whole New Year's thing's got me all thrown off, man.
It does, yeah.
I don't even know what day it is anymore. Either way, Sessions next. We'll be back tomorrow at 3, whatever the hell day it is, to talk about whatever we talk about. See ya.